saw the blood on her hand.
Stop!
He grabbed her wrist.
Damn it, stop!
It keeps slipping. She gestured with the screwdriver.
I can see that.
And she jabbed the tip of the screwdriver down the back of one hand hard enough to break the skin. Helpless anger swelled at seeing her like this. It's fine. She tugged her hand away and went back to her task. He'd thought about it, of course, heard her and hurt for her, but he hadn't pictured the reality of it. A nursery with an empty crib, a rocker with no baby to rock. I just need to get this screw out. Her hand shook so badly, she wasn't even getting good screwdriver-to-screw contact. I told Abby she could have it. She's having twins, you know. She swiped the back of her hand over the tears on her cheek. He admired her, ached for her, and fought his instinct to go to her, knowing it wasn't what she needed right now.
Why are you taking it apart?
It doesn't fit through the door otherwise. He looked back, eyed the doorway.
Okay, then. We'll take it apart.
She turned her back and went at another screw. I put it together in here by myself. I can damn well take it apart. Why can't I get it apart? She kicked at it, and he knew a lot of the tears were out of frustration. It struck him as incredibly sad that she'd done this alone. Put the crib together, put this room together. She wouldn't be alone now. The screwdriver missed its mark, and with the force behind her effort, it gouged a deep line in the dark wood. A sound of pure pain was wrenched from her throat. I have to take it down, she choked. I have to take it out. Savannah's not here anymore. Savannah's not here, she repeated, still clenching the tool and every word catching in her throat.
Okay, baby.
He went to her and covered her hands with his.
Okay, let me help you.
Gently, he pried the screwdriver from her fingers and silently went to work while she looked on. Afterward, Nick found a Ziploc in the kitchen and brought it back to keep all the small pieces collected. When that was done, he joined her on the floor, took her in his arms, and held her while she fell apart. She cried against him until he thought she would break. Deep, tearing sobs shook her body, and it nearly killed him. Is it wrong for me to want her with me? To wish her real mother didn't want her? Am I thinking about what's best for her? I don't know. I was best for her, she sobbed, her fist against her chest. Why couldn't I be best for her? I should have run. I should have just left with her.
Shh, you don't mean that.
He felt as though her heart were breaking right before his eyes, and no matter how tightly he held her, he couldn't stop it. I do. I do. She peered up at him, the misery in her eyes so stark that it ripped through him. I want her back. I just want her back.
I know. I know you do.
He repeated that, and other words he hoped were comforting. He kissed her forehead, her hair, cradled her against his chest, and let her cry. What the hell could he do?
I'm so sorry.
She deserved so much more. He wished he could be what she deserved. He'd thought at one time he was. If I just knew where she was, that she was okay, she cried. The not knowing? It's killing me, Nick. He held her tighter. He could possibly get the information she wanted, but would that really help her? He wasn't sure. She peered up at him, eyes red, face wet and splotchy, and he wanted her more than anything. Wanted to console her. Wanted to rant and rage on her behalf. Would give anything for the chance to slay her dragons, to go back in time and shield her from that pain. He'd tried his best to protect her from himself and broken both of their hearts in the process. She had this way of looking at him, like he was everything she'd ever needed, The only thing in the world she would ever need. She was looking at him like that right now. He brushed his thumb under her eyes. She didn't look away, and he followed the motion with his lips. He kissed her cheeks and down the side of her face. Her dark, sad eyes met and held his. Seconds passed, with no more than a breath between them. He hesitated, not wanting to do anything to hurt her. But when her eyelids fluttered closed, he pressed his mouth to hers. Her lips parted beneath his, and she took his breath into her lungs. Then she was kissing him, her fingers clasping the back of his head, twisting in the shirt on his back like she was sliding over a cliff, and he was her only hope for survival. Chapter 20. There was no kiss like Nick's. He made love to her mouth with an intensity that tore her down until there was nothing. Nothing but his mouth on hers, his fingers tunneling through her hair. He tilted her back over his arm and feasted like she was everything he ever needed. A dizzy, floating feeling drifted through her brain. Then even more when he lifted her, cradled her in his arms, and carried her through the home that should have been theirs. He laid her down on the bed, and for one sharp second, a vicious war battled, need against fear. His body came over hers, and with just a look from those brown eyes, she was tossed and shaken until she was afraid she would fall and fall until she was lost. Afraid, but willing to risk everything not to lose this moment, this feeling. Hot and damp, his mouth skated along her jaw, up to her temple, then teased the corner of her mouth. His barely stubbled cheek brushed hers, and it was one sensation, one more reminder she was alive. He continued with patience and skill until she wanted to be lost, wanted to go wherever Nick could take her.
"Let me take care of you."
"Yes." She tried to push that one word past the emotions clogging her throat, but he didn't need it. He was already taking care of her, taking her away in that slow, single-minded, possessive way he had that melted her muscles and made her helpless to him. This time, their lovemaking was more tentative and tender, more like their very first time so many years ago. A rediscovering with skimming lips and gliding fingers. Her body rose up to meet his at the same time he tipped her head back to deepen the kiss. She dragged at his shirt, impatient to feel him, the familiar and the different. Smooth, hot skin over strength and rippling muscle.
"Please."
There was such an ache, a hole to fill that only he could. He used his hands, his mouth. He had good hands, strong and skilled and slightly rough. Nick peeled off her clothes one piece at a time, then his own, slowing it down, bringing them back. Those strong hands stroked over her, cupping and molding her breasts until her breath quickened and her senses blurred. Reaching under her shirt, he flicked open her bra, tugged it away, then took her beyond the realm of clear thinking. With deep, blinding kisses and skilled fingers, he drove her up until her breath became moans. His touch reminded her of the past and all they'd shared. His tender kiss drew her under, and his sure hands held her there. They undid her, reminded her of what had been, then melted and melded into what was now. In the dark and the quiet, they took the time to rediscover each other. This was not about the past, she thought. This was now. Two new people coming together, but still achingly familiar. Nick caressed her, possessed her, took everything away except for him and them. He traced his fingers along her collarbone, over the swell of her breast in between. His hands were gentle, but his eyes grew hot with his deliberate seduction. He covered her and took more, stripping her raw. He made it impossible to hold back, to keep any part of herself safe from him. She burned with his touch, felt his erection press hard between her legs as she clung to him with a desperation that frightened her. Was it the memory of her feelings the last time he'd made love to her like this? Or the lingering torrent of emotions whipping through her? The years of missing him, of loneliness? Or could it just be him? Still, after all this time? She knew it was. He closed his lips over her aching nipples, touched her everywhere she needed to be touched, but still didn't give her everything. She wanted more, needed to be closer, still afraid to let her heart feel this, but wanting him badly enough to face the pain tomorrow.
"I've got you. I'm here."
It was true. He had her. She felt every touch, every breath, as surely as if his teeth were scraping along her heart. With each beat, he kissed her longer, harder, deeper. He possessed her heart as surely as he possessed her body. Her breath caught, very near a cry, when he plunged into her. He thrust harder, faster, demanding she give him everything. Everything she had, and the enormity of it, had tears burning her eyes. He raised her hands above her head on the mattress, twined their fingers tightly together.
"Hold on to me."
Then he stole her breath and her mind. Afterward, they lay together, Nick's fingers sifting slowly through her hair like she loved. The past was still there, hanging over them. Old hurts and some new ones. In the quiet, their bodies bare, their hearts stripped, both painfully aware of what they'd lost, but accepting they couldn't go back. They could only go forward to something new if they both chose to. But that would be the future, the great unknown. Before they'd been young, there had been no fear or uncertainty. They'd come together with both their hearts whole, no bruises or wounds inflicted by life or each other, no regret or forgiveness. There was only love and discovery and more love. She didn't know what they could be now. She only knew what they had been, and her heart remembered every drop of bloodshed when it had ended.
"I'm sorry,"
he said softly. It was a long time ago, and she didn't want to think about it right now. Her cheek on his warm chest and his fingers in her hair felt too good. However afraid she was to need him again didn't change the fact that she needed him now.
"Not that, though there's plenty to be sorry for. I meant the other morning when you left. I hurt you and I'm sorry. You don't remind me of the bad, you just..."
His hand paused on her head for a second, and she held her breath until it moved again.
"I still wonder, I know I shouldn't, but I still wonder how things might have been different. It doesn't help to want to go back and undo it, but I do."
"Nick."
"No, that's not all. I didn't say everything I should or everything I wanted to. I didn't know how. I still don't."
"I know." She'd been scared for both of them to travel down an old road. Should have known before she ever walked into his kitchen that the past would be stirred up like muddy silt on the bottom of a pond. That was the problem. Their past was muddy, dirty, bloody. But he was here now, his hand stroking slowly over her back in apology and comfort. Always the protector. She'd loved that about him, his fierce need to protect. So much to love about this man. She'd fallen hard as a teenage girl, then even more as a woman. It terrified her to think of falling again.
"I'm sorry for before, too, Mia. More than you'll ever know."
He spoke slowly, his voice deep and filled with so much raw emotion. She'd never wanted to leave him, still made her sick to think about it, but they couldn't ignore it. She shifted so they lay on their sides, facing. "I went back to the house a few days later," she said softly, her heart squeezing at the memory of what she'd found.
I didn't think you'd meant it.
And I thought you had,
he said so wearily she reached out for him. There was regret on both parts. She'd never have left if she'd thought for one second he wanted her to stay. And even so, she wouldn't have left Hannah. So she'd waited, stayed with a girlfriend from the hospital for a couple of days, waiting for Nick to come to his senses. Because it couldn't be over. Not them. Not Nick and Mia. 10 years ago, she'd walked out of his kitchen sure he would come after her. Positive he would finally open up and let her in, and that in time, the black space of guilt and anger inside him would heal. After 2 days, she went by the house, disappointed and more than a little scared, but needing to see Hannah. And if Nick was home, they would talk. If he wasn't, she'd wait. She'd cook dinner, pick up after everyone, pay bills. All those external things until she could reach inside him to what really mattered. What she found was Zack standing among a scattering of moving boxes. Hannah sat silently on the couch, staring at an old black-and-white movie on the TV. "Hey, guys." She dropped the bags of groceries she'd picked up on the kitchen counter. She plopped down beside Hannah and kissed the top of her head before forcing herself to look at Zack. He was unusually quiet. "Doing some cleaning out?" Zack, the consummate bachelor, spent most nights at the firehouse. He wouldn't have much to clean out.
"No, I'm packing up."
"Are you moving?"
Her gaze tracked to the hallway, where a wall of boxes was stacked. The knot swelled in her chest.
"Zack?"
If her voice shook a little, it was just because she hadn't been sleeping well. If her heart pounded, it was just because she was nervous about her talk with Nick. But a boulder-sized knot settled in her stomach. Zack ripped off a line of packing tape and smoothed it across the cardboard seam.
"You should talk to Nick."
"Nick's not here. I'm talking to you."
He wouldn't look at her. And for the first time since she'd known him, he looked guilty and embarrassed. The fact that she didn't have a clue what was going on was painful for both of them.
"Zack?"
"Nick's boss thought it would be good for him to get a change of scenery. Get some distance."
Nick mentioned his boss's idea, but he was totally against it. His boss hadn't forced the issue. Is he forcing it now? Again, Zack avoided her, stood with the box and pushed it across the room with his foot. Zack was tall and wide-shouldered, and at 27, he was a well-respected lieutenant at the firehouse. He was still the one with a joke and a quick smile, but she worried about the pain he hid underneath. Nothing significant could happen to one piece of the family without affecting all the others. Mia took Hannah's hand, seeking comfort and holding on to the girl she loved. Hannah didn't look at her. She rarely gave any sign she noticed Mia was there.
"Look,"
Zack finally said.
"All I know is he came by the firehouse and ran this by me, asked me what I thought, if I'd come with them."
He shrugged and reached for another box.
"It's not so hard for me to get a transfer. What do I care?"
He would care a great deal, she thought. Just because he didn't take life too seriously didn't mean he didn't have ties, friends, connections.
"I'll be joining them in a few weeks."
"Where?" Zack looked away. Did he not want to tell her? Did he think it would be breaking some kind of confidence by telling the woman who'd been with his brother for 13 years where he was moving without discussing it with her? She felt herself begin to unravel and bit down on her lip.
"Where?"
"Norfolk."
She barely registered the answer, because before the words were uttered, she'd realized it didn't matter. He was leaving, and he hadn't even told her. Because they weren't a couple anymore? It was more than she could take. With her heart in her throat, she stood.
"You okay?"
Zack reached out a hand to steady her. The boy she'd known since he was 15 had grown into a man. Still,
She saw the teenager she'd kept stocked with Little Debbies and reminded constantly about condoms. For his 16th birthday, she'd tried to make his favorite chocolate sheet cake exactly like his mother had. All 6 feet and 3 inches of man-child had cried on her shoulder like a baby for the parents he'd lost, letting her see his sadness in a way he couldn't with his stoic older brother. She almost couldn't bear to look at Hannah as she bent down to kiss her cheek. She needed to get away before she broke. She kissed Zach's cheek quickly and nearly ran to the kitchen. There'd be time to get her stuff later, time for goodbyes. She reached for her purse and paused. "When?" she asked without turning around.
"There's, an opening now that needs to be filled. A guy headed for retirement went out early, and they're shuffling people, so..."
"When?"
"Day after tomorrow."
Mia didn't sleep for 48 hours, not for 1 minute. Her head ached from crying and the constant straining to hear a knock at her door or a buzz on her phone. Neither came. And so, eventually, she'd moved on. Maybe not very well, at least for a while. But for 10 years she'd moved. She looked at him now, lying in her bed, his beautiful face just an inch from hers, and tried not to see the man who'd broken her heart.
"I thought you were done with me, Mia,"
Nick finally said.
"I know I would have been. You left. I don't blame you, but you left. And I thought that was it."
"You left me long before that in every way that mattered."
"I know."
"You never came after me." He sighed and rolled until he was staring at the ceiling.
"I wasn't sure things could be any different, that I could be different."
"Did you want to come after me?"
"I didn't want to hurt you anymore."
He looked over at her.
"And I knew I was hurting you. Us. I couldn't come after you because you were right. Not that I didn't want you there exactly, but in a way I didn't even want myself there."
She couldn't believe he remembered those words. Hadn't thought he'd really been listening even then.
"I wanted to turn off like Hannah had turned off, but I couldn't. So I dialed myself down to the lowest possible setting and still be breathing. There was nothing left for you."
"I could have helped dial you back."
"Maybe, but..."
He shook his head slowly.
"I didn't want to be brought back. There was no love inside me. I couldn't love you. I couldn't feel anything. Without the anger and the guilt, I was empty inside. Maybe I closed myself off just to survive. I didn't blame you for what happened. I swear I didn't."
He rolled back to her and gathered her to his chest.
"I don't."
"I know," she whispered. But she had been late, even if just a few minutes. He'd opened the door for the truth. She forced herself to step through. "I was late, though. I blamed myself for that." His arms tightened.
"Mia."
"No, I was. Just a few minutes. Enough to think, what if? I wasn't waiting there at 4 like I usually was. I'd been coming from a doctor appointment. I was running late. I'd..." It hurt that what should have been so easy to say, so happy to say, was so very hard. She swallowed. "I'd just found out I was pregnant." Everything in Nick stilled. She felt the shock bounce through him for a moment before he pulled back to meet her eyes. "I was pregnant, Nick." She smiled through fresh tears. "I was so excited to tell you. My mind wasn't where it should have been. It was on us and our baby. I was so happy sitting there, waiting for Hannah, imagining how I would tell you, and then..."
"You never told me."
His voice was soft, shocked, and sorry. "No." She touched his face. "I couldn't. I'm sorry, but I just couldn't. I kept thinking any day Hannah would come home and everything would be okay. Then I'd tell you and we could be happy again.
But it wasn't. We weren't.
No.
He covered her hand that lay on his cheek with his own, held it there.
So I waited. Every day I thought, this will be the day. Hannah will be back and all this will end. But then...
What?
A few weeks later...
She took a deep breath to get out the words she'd never wanted to say.
I lost the baby. I lost our baby.
He sucked in a breath, and the muscles in his jaw twitched. He swallowed and took another breath before he spoke.
You didn't tell me.
And add to what you were already going through?
She bit her bottom lip, shook her head, praying he would understand.
I couldn't. It happened at work, at the hospital. I thought maybe I'd been working too much, being on my feet, or the stress of everything, but the doctor said no. She said it happens and we could try again.
Nick stared at her until her lips trembled.
Please, God, don't let him be angry. I can't take him being angry with me on top of everything else.
Finally, he trailed his fingertips over her face, her hair, then touched his forehead to hers.
And I was so deep inside myself I didn't even notice.
I didn't make it easy for you to notice, she said,
her voice barely a whisper, like his. She closed her eyes, absorbing his gentle touch as silent tears gathered.
I didn't want you to know.
And after Hannah was home?
He asked softly. She opened her eyes and looked deep into his.
What good would it have done? How would it have helped to add to your pain?
So it was your pain.
Yes.
It still hurt so badly, like a burn on her heart that wouldn't heal. Those feelings, the pain, and the loss were all tangled up in losing Nick until she couldn't seem to separate the two. Couldn't stop herself from wondering if it would have made a difference. If a baby would have brought Nick new life and a new hope for the future. If a baby would have helped Hannah heal. But she knew it could have just as easily brought Nick more guilt.
In a way, I think it made it easier. Not having our shared happiness and plans and excitement be one more thing to mourn.
Mia.
He caught her against his chest, and then she let the tears fall.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too. I'm sorry, too, she repeated, crying harder. I kept thinking when things got better, I'd tell you and we could be sad together, then maybe try again.
But they never did.
No.
Things never got better. With Nick's face buried in her hair, they held each other and took this time to mourn together. In the dark, Nick watched her sleep, just able to make out her features. But he didn't need light. Everything about her was burned into his memory. He traced the shape of her mouth and brows, unaware of time passing as he ran his fingers through her hair. He'd held her for a long time after their talk, her body spent but still not totally relaxed. Every few minutes, lightning flashed, followed by the low rumble of distant thunder. After a while, he got up and returned with a cold washcloth for her eyes. She lay on her side, facing him, and he wiped the cloth over her face. Now she finally slept. He traced the lines of her face. Her long lashes curled thick and dark with remnants of tears. Even now, with her hand lightly curled under her chin in sleep, her skin was still flushed. So beautiful. Not wanting to wake her but unable to stop himself, he brushed a light kiss over her forehead. They'd made a baby together. It was still sinking in, his mind still trying to grasp the enormity of that. Her stomach that lay flush against his side had held a life, even if for a short time. She'd stayed with him longer than he deserved, taken more hits than anyone should have, especially her. He thought he was the only one who knew what it was like to lay your head down on the pillow at night and try to sleep when someone you loved was missing. It was a certain kind of hell, and he'd been sure no one could understand it. But she'd been there, right beside him. She'd felt it too. He tried to think back, searching for a day she'd come home to him after losing their baby. Had there been something in her eyes if he'd taken the time to look? She couldn't have hidden it from him if he'd given her half a glance. She was right. He didn't see her anymore. He had stopped seeing her. He tightened his arms around her, buried his face in her hair, and spent the rest of the night asking himself how in God's name he'd stopped seeing his Mia. The cloud-covered sky of morning cast a dull light over Mia's kitchen. Rain fell, soft and steady, soaking the ground and pooling on the sidewalk. They came awake together, made love again, slowly, silently. Now she stood at the counter waiting on the coffee while Nick toasted bagels a few feet away. She poured coffee into his cup. He placed her bagel on a plate. They moved around each other, the falling rain covering the silence. She wasn't sure how she felt about them having a quiet morning in her kitchen. She might regret falling apart on him yesterday, opening herself up to him, but knew she couldn't have stopped it. She thought of that quicksand and knew she better find something to grab onto, and quick. He met her eyes over the rim of his coffee cup.
What did you do after you left the house that day?
Mia took a second before she answered. They had covered a lot of ground last night, but his question just proved there was still more to cover. She wasn't excited to go over what she thought of as her heartbroken years. I took a few days, then I went back to Boston. I went home. Neither of my parents were well, so it was good. I regrouped, went back to school for a few classes. My mom had a stroke shortly after my return. I couldn't work full-time and take care of her, but I needed to do something, so it was good. Later, I was able to get into a psych rotation. It worked.
But you said you weren't a psychiatrist.
No. I quickly found that psychiatry was not my calling. I had no desire to work in a hospital. I have the degree if I ever need it. It saves people from having to go to another doctor if I really feel medication would help them. I specialize in grief counseling. I do a lot of work with couples. It's not always death or illness. Drug addiction brings a certain grief to parents. Guilt, blame. It's difficult, and the wedge that's often driven between them makes it even more so. He stared into his coffee, a humorless laugh on his lips.
We'd know something about that.
Yes, we would.
So, where do we go from here?
I don't know. Sometimes the why and the how didn't matter, she thought. Sometimes there was enough hurt that a love was simply broken. It didn't matter whose fault or how true the justifications. A broken heart was still broken, and it still took time to put it back together, if it even could be. Nick set his mug on the counter and came to stand in front of her. He looked at her for a long time, touched her hair and her cheek.
It scares me too, you know, what I feel for you, what I've always felt.
Have you always felt it? She hated to ask, but if there was any chance for them, she needed to know. What had happened to them? How had he let her go so easily?
More than I wanted to let myself. Losing Hannah, finding her the way I did, it changed me. But I never stopped loving you.
He framed her face in his big, warm hands.
Not for a second. I might have buried it so deep you couldn't feel it, but it was still there. Always. I lost you. Lost us. Now it feels like I have a chance again. Like we have a chance.
Nick had never lied to her, especially about his feelings. Even at 19, she'd known that. But it hadn't been enough before. Why would it be enough now? And now you can believe you deserve it?
I'm working on that. But I know you do.
Did she want a chance? To open her heart to him again, have it crushed again? She'd needed him last night, and she'd given in to what he offered. She couldn't regret their talk, the things that needed to be said, but what had really changed?
I don't blame you for not believing that.
It's not that I don't believe you. She ached to reach out for him, to run her hands up his chest and lose herself in the passion that hadn't diminished in all this time. He said he still loved her, but what did that mean? He loved her now, but he'd loved her then, hadn't he? Maybe there's too much between us. Too much time and hurt.
I don't believe that. I won't.
She stared down the hallway, thinking of the empty room. Nick had nothing to do with that. The baby they'd lost had nothing to do with the baby she'd lost without him, but maybe some things should just be left in the past, or maybe it's just me. Maybe now I'm stuck just like you were. Her heart hurt, it ached, bleeding from the hole Savannah had left, and now all the old wounds from Nick torn open on top of that. Nick was quiet for a long time. So was she, afraid he would mention the baby they had lost, grateful that he didn't. She was too raw to go there again so soon. Maybe he was too.
I didn't use a condom, Mia. I'm sorry.
She didn't respond right away, trying to figure out how she felt about that. She gave up. Her emotions were too much of a gauntlet to fight her way through on this dark, rainy morning. It's not the right time. She couldn't tell if Nick was disappointed or relieved. God help her, she didn't know which she was either.
I told you I loved you. I meant it.
Completely overwhelmed, she started to move away. Nick, you can't just...
I can,
he said, pulling her against his chest, not letting her go.
And I'm sorry if it's too soon.
It all feels too soon, she whispered. And at the same time, it feels much too late. I don't want you to break my heart again, Nick. I don't think it's all the way repaired from the last time.
Mia.
His hand caressed slowly up and down her back.
I don't want to break your heart. I don't want to hurt you at all, ever. I didn't want to before.
I know. It was unnecessary to point out that he had all the same. Maybe she'd broken his, too. She looked up at the brown eyes she loved and forced herself to be stronger than she had before. I know it may not make sense to you, but the fact that I want to jump right back into what we had so badly scares me. That you're saying you want it. She shook her head. How could she trust that? How could he expect her to?
I'm not just saying it, but I understand.
His arms loosened around her and she wanted to cry. She didn't want to be alone, but so much had happened in such a short time, and she felt dazed, off balance, unable to cope. He could devastate her, and she didn't think she could bear any more devastation. Not now, not yet, maybe not ever.
I should go.
I didn't mean I wanted you to go. Damn it.
I know, but I need to.
He smoothed a hand over her hair, then slipped his fingers under and curled them around her neck.
I want you so badly. I'm not above bringing out all my secret weapons to get you back into bed.
You have secret weapons? She asked, teasing.
Maybe I'll show you sometime.
They shared a smile. He'd always been good at making her smile. It went a long way to easing her knotted emotions. I'll pour you some fresh coffee to go. She took his mug, poured it, and refilled it. When she handed it to him, He took it and set it aside. Then, in an achingly tender gesture, brushed the hair back from her face. He kissed her, beginning with a slow brush of his lips, then taking her under. His kiss was a weapon she knew well.
I'm working a case that'll take me out of town a lot the next couple of months. We're working in conjunction with the Maryland office.
Is it dangerous?
No.
Would you tell me if it was?
No.
He sent her a crooked half-smile, and she scowled at him, not wanting to think how she could lose him like that.
It's more than traveling. They've set me up in a temporary apartment. Bad timing, I know.
Because Hannah's engaged.
Maybe that's part of it. I'm still getting used to the idea. Though it seems this is happening, and I'd better get on board or get left behind.
She smiled again. That's progress.
Yeah, but really, I was thinking the timing is off for us. This thing that's still between us. I don't want to lose it before we give it a chance or give you time to decide it's a bad bet. I don't mind giving you time, but you need to know I'm not stepping away.
She tried to speak, but he kissed her again until she couldn't string two words together. Rough hands framed her face. His eyes stared into hers until she couldn't breathe. Then, his lips brushed hers in a touch so soft it shouldn't have kindled a fire in her blood, yet it did. She sank into him, falling deeper and hating herself for letting it happen. They hadn't seen each other in 10 years. Then a night of passion and the heartbreak that nothing had changed. Then last night, Nick had been there to hold her crumbling pieces together, made sweet love to her for hours. More had been shared, more had been said and admitted. And now, he was in her kitchen, saying he wasn't going to step back from her. The kiss ended with their foreheads touching, both of them breathless. Then he pressed a kiss to the top of her head, took the coffee she'd poured, and left her standing weak-kneed in her kitchen while the rain continued to fall. Chapter 21 Mia sat in the barn office, waiting on Hannah to say goodbye to a student. It smelled old but clean. She studied the pictures attached to the wood-paneled wall with thumbtacks. There were old ones of the previous owners and new ones of Hannah and her students. Most were of Winey, Hannah's beloved Palomino. There was one of Hannah and Nick. Her heart shuddered. It shouldn't hurt to fall in love with someone a second time, but she felt an enormous weight on her chest. She'd taken the past weeks to put her life in order. She'd given the crib to Abby, then accepted her invitation for coffee, and in the process felt like she'd made a new friend. She'd stopped calling the adoption agency and given clothes and books to the women's and children's shelter. Now one more thing. Sharing good memories from the past without thinking of it like a loss. I told you he was a cutie, Hannah said of the little burn victim she'd just seen off. Yes, he is. You want a drink? Hannah went to her mini-fridge on the other end of the shoebox-sized room. No, thanks. His parents may have to let him live here. The joy in his eyes was practically blinding. I know. His family's going on vacation, and he was extra sad to say goodbye to Hazel today. Aw. Hannah sank into the desk chair, opened a bottle of water, and took a long drink. What'd you bring? This. Mia held out the photo box to Hannah. Old pictures, things I saved of yours from kindergarten mostly. I'd forgotten I had so much. Hannah opened the box and lifted the first picture, herself on a pink bicycle. Oh, look, I remember that. Zach finally talked me into taking off the training wheels. I fell and bloodied my knee in the first 2 minutes, and Nick was furious. Yes, he was. Hannah smiled and sifted through the stack. I kept a few, Mia said. But you should have them. Thank you. Hannah picked up more pictures, including a few from a long-ago Christmas.
I'm sure you have some of the same ones somewhere on Nick's computer or something, but these were printed out, so...
Hannah touched her arm. Thank you. She got to a more recent photo of herself at maybe 13 or 14 years old and stopped to study it. Wow. I hardly remember being this age.
That was the age she'd been when she was taken. Maybe bringing up the past wasn't a good idea.
I know Nick and the way he worries now. I can't imagine how he must have been then.
You don't have to think about it.
It's okay, I can think about it now. She studied Hannah's face and saw it was true.
Do I have one sexy McKinney brother to thank for that? Hannah smiled.
I'd say he has a lot to do with it. Hannah gave her a long look, then went back to the photos. She pulled out a photo of Mia and Nick. Has Nick seen these?
No.
Has Nick seen you?
Not lately. He's been out of town, but...
But?
Hannah waited. I've seen him a couple of times.
Mia sighed and tried for a smile, but it came off shaky. She stared down at the worn indoor-outdoor carpet.
More than seen him.
Oh.
Oh, Hannah repeated, catching on.
I had no idea.
No, you wouldn't. And it's, well, I'm not sure what it is.
She was too afraid to go down that road. Her eyes burned with the memory of his heavy arm wrapped around her that rainy morning. Why did the memory of his comfort make her want to cry?
Mia?
The kindness in Hannah's voice almost undid her.
I'm sorry if he hurt you.
She forced a smile. She didn't want anyone to know she was sick with love for him, again. She was barely able to admit it to herself.
I think we hurt each other.
And that was true, and something she had to think about. Before Hannah could dig deeper or wrap her in a hug that surely would have undone her, Stephen called out.
Hannah?
They both turned at the deep voice.
Speak of the devil.
In here, Hannah called. Stephen pushed open the office door and went right to Hannah.
Hey, babe.
He greeted his fiancée with an easy kiss on the temple.
Hey, Mia.
Hey, Stephen, good to see you.
You too.
He turned to Hannah.
What's this?
Mia brought me some old pictures. Even as she was answering, he was taking the box.
Look at you!
He pulled out one of Hannah at maybe 6. She had a missing front tooth and wore pink footy pajamas.
Oh,
he said on a breath.
I'm taking this one.
What? Why, I look ridiculous. If Hannah missed the stark look of love in Stephen's eyes, Mia didn't. It shot straight through her. Because he loves you, Mia said. Stephen kissed the top of Hannah's head.
So true.
Was she really so afraid that she would turn her back on a love like that? But if she let herself fall and Nick closed himself off again?
I have to go, Mia said.
Don't let me run you off.
You're not. I really need to get back, and...
What exactly did she have to get back to?
I was going to pick up some flowers, do some planting.
Okay, we'll talk later. She hugged Hannah goodbye. If there's anything in the box you don't want, you can check with your brothers.
I will.
Nick parked his SUV and gazed across the fields of Freedom Farm at the array of colors splashed along the horizon against a vivid blue sky. The counterterrorism case he'd worked had been brutal, all-consuming, and satisfying. Days passed, turning into weeks. Then October was ending, sliding into November. A stiff breeze met him as he got out, tearing leaves from the maple near the barn and sending them flying. He hadn't seen Mia in way too long. He figured it might have been easier to cut off his arm. Only the hurt in her eyes could have made him stay away. That and his own lingering fear that he would bring her more. His Mia had never been afraid before. She'd fallen in love with abandon. It was his fault she was afraid now. So he'd given her the space she asked for, but he didn't know how much longer he could wait. He needed her, to touch her, kiss her, make her smile. That's what he wanted more than anything else, to make Mia smile again. In a way, the time apart was good, a forced easing into things. They'd jumped that first night at his house. Then when he'd made love to her at hers, it had been more about comfort than her choosing and trusting. And that's what he wanted, her trust. It might have taken these months to be sure he could have it without hurting her, but he was sure now. In addition to that, his sister was getting married, God help him. At least McKinney'd had enough sense to discuss it with him before popping the question. Nick stepped into the barn just in time to see Stephen lip-locked with Hannah. He cleared his throat. Stephen turned and the two men exchanged nods.
Detective? Not a detective. And do you always have to be here when I'm here? I was just thinking the same thing,
McKinney said.
And I was here first.
Boys, boys. Hannah moved from her fiancé to hug her brother. Hey, I didn't know you were back.
For a day.
How's the case?
Good, just about wrapped up. I'm just here to report. Should be completely finished in another week.
That's good. I missed you. See what happens when you're not standing over my shoulder every second? She hugged him again and kissed his cheek before pulling back. Stephen held up a bag.
I'll put your lunch in the office. I also brought my fiancé lunch,
he added with a smirk at Nick. See how sweet he is? He'll sit in there, make some calls so you and I can talk.
Yeah, so sweet. Everything good?
Yes, good and busy. Wedding plans and, oh my gosh, Halloween! You should have seen Halloween at the McKinneys, she laughed. Or maybe not. It was kind of insane. In a good way. You remember Gracie, Matt's daughter? I think you met them here once.
Yeah.
He'd seen her. A 5-year-old with curling pigtails and hot pink boots she loved to clomp on the wood floor. And he remembered the way Matt swung her into his arms. It seemed Hannah was always talking about the McKinneys, what they were doing, a birthday party or an outing. And why shouldn't she? She'd slid right in. And he knew she loved every crazy loud minute. She finally had what he'd always wanted for her. A horde of women who would be sisters. And McKinney's mom, who treated her like she was her own. She was a bunch of grapes. And her costume was all these purple balloons, which Jack couldn't help but want to pop. She laughed softly. Guess you had to be there.
Sounds cute.
He hadn't thought about having children of his own in a long, long time, not since he was with Mia.